How are you doing? Did you see the match?
I did. No,
you watched it live?
I did watch it live, yeah.
Late in the day, what time did you go to bed?
The hour changed, about 2.30, 3 a.m.
Oh, bloody hell.
When Ashton got in the clear on those two occasions, I was wondering what you would have thought if Bevan had got in the clear.
Oh, God. Well, I think that would have been a certain try. Bevan never passed the ball, he scored. Bevan takes them on and he would sidestep inside. He'd start to go outside and sidestep inside, and he was so far off them they never got near him. They wouldn't have got him in tuck and pass.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, or good night, whatever time you're listening to this shite. I'm Rob London. Yes, welcome back to What Would Brian Bevan Say? So, talking of times with the hour springing forward in the UK and falling back here in Oz, where are my two podcasting time travellers? Firstly, his electronic screwdriver is ready to unlock any statistic with enough data to completely fill the TARDIS. And if he was to travel through time and relative dimensions in space, no doubt his assistant would be Tanya Arnold. Yes, old enough to remember William Hartnell, and not forgetting Mrs. Burgess once stroked his canine. It's Dr. Sam Sankey. Hello?
He's not there. In fact, news just in. I don't know if he's got the invite or not, but he's mentioned something out about having an extra big shit. So I don't know what that means.
And also, with a time machine that's travelled into the future to bring you more than one or two of his tackle bag ideas. He's from the Morlocks side of the river, and probably later in the show we'll contemplate the long-term fate and humanity of the planet. Move over, H.G. Wells. It's Dennis Waywell.
All right.
Well, it looks like it's just you and me then, Dennis.
Well, I'll message him back, just saying we're waiting for you.
Does he not think he's got the invite? Has he lost it in his spam?
Yeah.
It's ever since that, you know, that African bloke tried to take all his money out of his bank account. Oh, he's typing. Here we go.
Yeah.
This is very unlike him, isn't it? It's because we've changed times. He's pissed. We should just point out it is 6:30 in the morning here in Sydney. 9:30 over in Warrington. He's typing. No, I have no email to join. Oh, fucking hell. It reminds me of a pensioner. You know, they can't work his IT, can he? Right, I've sent another one to him.
All right.
Jesus. Well, have you been, Dennis? You been good?
Yeah, not too bad. Had a camp out this weekend.
Yeah, I saw the
pictures.
Been
down to Dorset, you know.
Very nice.
Out and away. Here he is. It's Sam. Hey, Sam. Just so you know, Sam, we have started the podcast and we are recording. So
So keep the filth out. You know what you're like. All that misogynistic shit, keep to yourself. All right. So I was going to ask how you've been, Sam, but what I need to say is, first of all, have you washed your elbow since the incident? You want to tell all the listeners?
Oh, yes. Yes. I was touched. I was touched by Big Sam.
So what exactly happened? You sent a message instantly, didn't you, to say it had happened? Come on, tell us what happened.
I should really not message when I'm drunk, because I know damn well you're going to bring it up, don't you, sometime.
So you were in what? You were in the bar afterwards. What? And he came over to you. Mm. Yeah, yeah. What happened?
Oh, no. Oh. We'll just leave it as private between Sam and I.
Had he gone into the toilets at that moment and beckoned you in with his finger, would you have followed him in and sucked him off?
Oh, come off it. Bloody hell.
It's what you get for being late, isn't it, I suppose?
I've been sat here with no invite to join.
We have invited someone else then, obviously, about 10, 15 minutes ago. So if someone else pops up on the screen, we'll wait and see. Okay, fair enough.
How have you been, Sam? You been all right?
Yes, very good, thank you. I went away for a dirty weekend with Mrs. Sankey in the northeast.
Do I detect a little hint of colour in the pommy's cheeks this morning?
Not for me. It was bloody freezing in the north. It was only 9 degrees.
Nose, nose always goes first for me.
Yeah. Yeah. You and Stefan Ratchford.
Yeah.
Mm. Right. Well, let's kick off then. We'll start with the Super League review of Leeds. If anyone could remember this. The team was Dufty, Jake Foulis, Ratchford and Curry in the centres, Lindop, Williams, Sneed, Musgrove, Walker, Vaughan, Holroyd, Fitzgibbon and Harrison. Interchange bench was Yates, Powell, Philbin and Wood. So it was lift off at the Halliwell Jones. It wasn't quite ground control to Major Tom, but it was video ref Ben Thaler to referee Tom Grant. Here's the highlights.
Ground control to Major Tom. Ground control to Major Tom.
Walker short pass here to Dufty, ball over the top. Here's Lindop now with a chance to open the stride. Kicks past the fullback. Lindop, if he gets the bounces in, he gets one. Sensational!
Commencing countdown, engines on.
Last one, need a quick play of the ball. They need to move it to the right. Here's Croft. Croft goes in and out, fires a pass to Connor. Connor gets it, shot in. Brilliant, brilliant pass. McDonald is in.
This is ground control.
Here goes Connor now, into the hands of Palacia, gets it to Croft, Leeds turn the ball back inside, looking for a gap, they'll offload it again here, they're coming back, Bentley gets it away to Connor, Connor finds it wide, what a pass, what a try!
Now it's time to leave the capsule if you dare.
Connor, is he going to put boot to it? No, he fires it to Croft, Croft out the back to Miller, Miller wide pass to Hall, he's over and he's in! Brilliant! Brilliant finish for Ryan Hall!
And I'm floating in the most peculiar way. And
looking now to Williams, a threat. Miss out pass, great pass to Ratchford. Great tackle, but he rolls over. Was he stopped? He wasn't. And Stephen Ratchford gives the Warrington Wolves a way back in here. To a change here now, short pass, here's a chance, a block to Ratchford, way to Fulis, Fulis is in! Warrington strike instantly!
Final score, Warrington 16, Leeds 14. There were tries for Lindop, Ratchford and Jake Foulis. Sneed kicked 2 from 3. Referee, as we just mentioned, was Tom Grant. Attendance, a healthy 10,523. Before we review, here's Sam Burgess.
High quality game, especially in the first half, as both sides completed 95%. There's only a couple of penalties. So it tells you it's a pretty tough game. You know, the first 40 was a tough arm wrestle, and you know, I think Leeds were great. You know, they really were. So we had to find something pretty special to win. So I'm proud of the team for that.
Right. Well, there you have it. Who's going to start on this one? You were there, Sam. Sounds like you were pissed by the end, but
by the end I was. It was Mother's Day weekend and the prodigal son had returned.
Oh, right, yeah. But you're the prodigal son, are you?
I'm not.
Oh, right, sorry. Right.
But yeah. He took his mother out and I just tagged along. So we had an early tea. It was too early to call it dinner. That's how early it was.
Had you been touched at this time?
No, not touched at this moment.
All right, okay.
No.
Excellent.
No. And I thought that for much of that first half, we were the second best team. They looked organised, they looked quick, they looked connected. And we were hanging on in there.
Right. Okay. Yeah. They did beat us on the metres again, They ran for 1177 metres. Warrington ran in comparison for 970. But again, the kicking of Sneed. Leeds kicked for 477. Wyatt 679. I mean, that calculation's right, isn't it? Really? Like, if you've made all those metres, but if the other team has kicked more, you're just subtracting it, Sam, I guess.
Yes, to a degree. I guess it depends exactly where you are meeting the first tackle, doesn't it?
But it makes a big difference. You know, yes. I thought of this one. There's so many times you watch Warrington at the Halliwell Jones over the years and they fall behind. You know, they get behind on the scoreboard and you think, oh, here we go. Another one of those nights. And we might score and get nearly level and then the opposition score again and it's never quite our night and we all come away booing and bloody hell, Warrington. I never felt that in this game. I never felt when they were in the lead. And I thought to myself, is that because Warrington have improved? And to some extent they have, but I just think Leeds are lacking a bit of attacking prowess. They couldn't finish us off. They've got no X factor in that side. They're a higgledy-piggledy, you know, eclectic mix of players. But they've not really got, apart from, you know, the halfback's pretty good, there's no real spike out in the edges that's going to do a Dufty or an Ashton. And they just didn't get enough points, really. When they got in front, they needed a few more points and they just couldn't find them.
I agree they needed more points, but I think it would be unfair not to mention, not just against Leeds, but for 3 weeks in a row, how we scramble to make that last-ditch effort.
Yeah.
How we've put the opposition out over the sideline on numerous occasions. When they've half broken our line, we are doing everything we can to get back. So I think a little bit of effort, a little bit of kudos there for us and the improvement from earlier for the first few games in the season. We look like we really want it there.
Dennis, improvement or Super League just shit?
I mean, I haven't rated Leeds, and I think actually I've not really thought about it in that way, but you're right. They haven't got at that one or two star quality players that's going to massively change a game, I don't think. So,
no.
Yeah, they're a bit boring. I mean, you only have to look at our first try. What a wonder try that was from Lindop. You know, that was a bit special, wasn't it? And, you know, that's a player that, you know, he's still finding his, you know, the start of his career, and he's not really one you'd expect to see it, but we've seen it a couple of times now, and that was evidence of it again.
Do you think that counts as kick from hand meters?
Oh, that's a good...
No. See, have you got a new category?
This is the reason for our statistician, because he prizes the cracks between his facts.
He's obviously, he's making a play to get his section back because he's been dropped and he is trying, isn't he? Well,
no,
there was
really
that
not.
Bit. No. And then Leeds scored, didn't they? And that really came out from just like, I don't know what it is about the tackling sometimes. Sometimes we seem to just have that period where we stand off and we just can't
just
put the man down,
offloading.
And we were stretched.
Glad you brought it up, Dennis, because I'm going to bring that up on the second game a bit later. So, yeah, excellent. Great minds think alike.
Yeah, it does.
What's the atmosphere like, Sam? Now, you know, you get that sort of feeling of how the... I mean, forget the happy clappers, but the quality members of the stand... How are they feeling at the moment?
Oh,
what
yes.
are they like?
Yes.
I think you're always a little bit disrespectful with this happy clapper idea. Everyone's paid the money is more my opinion.
Sorry. I'll rephrase
no,
it.
No, no, you don't
no,
have to
no,
sorry.
No,
I
know,
you're
I know
right.
what
I, you mean.
I apologise. I'll rephrase it. Forget the norms. What about the people in the stand that actually know about the game?
Oh dear.
Nicely put.
Are you going to answer?
Well,
come on, you sit next to your mate Bish. How's Bish? He's very good. He's very level headed. He's a smart young man. What's his? And he's also you sent me a picture. He seems to be about 18 inches taller than Leon Hayes. So
and the rest. He still thinks, as I do, that we are not talking of attack. We're not quite connected. And I was going to bring this up on the next game.
Oh,
I don't think we're quite there in attack, but I think we're both in agreement that, if I dare use the word resilience is back.
Oh, did you? I saw him this week. I saw him. He was in the box at the Cronulla match.
Yeah,
he's become a bit of a silver fox as Price.
Has he?
Yeah.
But the team's very resilient. Sorry.
The biggest note of difference. I sent Rob a message. I think he discussed it at the head of the show with his dad. But the big forwards, you can't deny, there was a couple of periods where they made a difference and we got a momentum going. And when you've got Snead and Williams behind, then that's it, isn't it? It's just, that's rugby league. Mm. So you have to have.
Just while I remember, Mrs. London, she goes to her Pilates class most mornings and yoga and everything else that she does. But her friend from work invited her to a new class down at Manly Leagues, which is just down the road from Brookie Oval. And she's about to pop off on Sunday, and she says, "I'm just going down to do that class, the Pilates class." I said, "Oh," and then I just looked on my phone. I was like, "You do realise Manly are playing at home? You're not going to get a park anywhere near." So in the end, I ran her down the hill. It's only 3 minutes down the hill. She did her Pilates class, and I went and did the weekly shop because I'm that kind of guy. I'm pretty liberal in my views. And then I went to pick her up, and I got there just a fraction early. So I was outside for about 15 minutes. So I walked, and I could have gone in. The gates were open. I could have gone in and watched, but it's against my religion. I'm primrose and blue through and through. You could hear a pin drop. Oh. When you're on the causeway, in the old days, when you're on the causeway, you got to about as far as Gartons, snot rags, and you could hear them at Fletcher Street, couldn't you? Like, I mean, that's a good kilometre away still. You could even hear them at the bottom of Bridge Foot on a big cup day. Mm-hmm. I was within 30 metres of the gates, and for 15 minutes, not a sound. Mm. So don't always think NRL is better, because in a lot of ways it's not. It's not.
Yeah.
I thought we were up against it there at 14-6. And although we got a little fortunate with a sin bin, probably is these days, but it could easily have been missed. Mm. I felt we didn't panic like we have in the past. In the past, we've thrown the ball around like a hot potato, and the first of all, we come back with a surprisingly well-taken try from Ratchford, who didn't just fall over the line. Mm. And then, of course, a great try to finish the game off, to send the crowd home happy.
No, it wasn't a great try, though, was it? Slightly marred by he was holding the ball in his wrong hand.
No.
Well
done, Dennis. Well done.
I've written that, and I was going to ask you, did you notice? But you clearly did.
Yes. Yeah, and he was very close, the defender, to knocking his arm. Very close indeed.
Dear. Oh, well. But in the end, they're quite good. The forward pass that Sky called a brilliant pass. Is he from Leeds? Because when I went to do the highlights, I had to turn the volume down every time Leeds score and turn it up for Warrington when Warrington scored on the track.
Yeah.
Have you noticed that?
Doing very well. Have you swore today?
No. I'm very positive. Close, though. I am a bit worried because it is 6:30 in the morning. I've not had time, unlike Mr. Sankey, to empty his bowels. So we might need to have a break because I've just had my first coffee and I can feel movements.
Taking on that bit about how things have run.
What is arse?
Yeah, runny. The clip of Phil Gould.
Oh, shall I put that in?
Yeah,
I'll put that in now. I'll play that now.
Like you, Gus, you've seen over the years England rugby league probably falling away on a domestic front over there. Do you think the NRL should be spending its time looking into this and rescuing the competition over there?
100%. I made that recommendation to the NRL Commission 6 years ago. COVID got in the way and all of a sudden they had different priorities, and I said that the international game of rugby league needs to be controlled by the National Rugby League. You can't wait for the international board to do it. They've got no power, they've got no expertise, they've got no money. The English Super League, we need English Super League strong. And the way to do that is for the NRL to get involved with it, and if not, own it. My understanding, and there's been a lot of sort of behind the doors conversations for some time now around the UK Super League. I know in Clubland a number of NRL clubs have been approached about associations with Super League clubs across there and in trying to help them out with that sort of thing. There have been reports of some clubs over there for sale, and that they're trying to get the NRL and NRL clubs involved with them. There's been a lot of talk going on for some time. We said something was happening. Then there were some reports about a month ago that maybe this was a media play, like an old Super League play, where I think the prominent owners in the game across there have got together, disillusioned with the current administration or the way the game is managed across there, and they are the ones that have made the approach to the NRL that we need a new administration, we need a new concept, and we need to have something else to take to broadcasters to get a better broadcast deal, because they've got a very poor broadcast deal at the moment.
And they're all off
contract. Key to that is the London Broncos situation, because to have a valuable broadcast situation across there, they would need a very, very strong London, if not two teams in London. And at the moment, London's always been a failure. It's never been really a success across there. So there have been conjecture around about who's going to own that going into the future and who's trying to own that going into the future. I think there are a few little factions across there sort of preempting what is possible and trying to position themselves for it. There has definitely been conversations between UK Super League clubs and NRL clubs around would you be interested in taking a stake or being interested in a relationship. But at the end of the day, I think it's up to the NRL to do it. And I think it's a really good move for the NRL to take administrative control of the UK Super League. I'm buoyed by the fact, and I think it's a bit of a signal that the UK, we're doing the Kangaroo Tour to the UK this year, I think, which could coincide with some sort of thing there. And then broadcast-wise, they need to get that game strong, and then they need to put pathways in, and then they need to get it funded, and we need to make them strong again. But I think the UK Super League is very, very important to World Rugby League.
I think it's interesting in so much that that was a very measured, very considered response or comment from him on whatever show they were on, the footy show or whatever they were on. Clearly he knows or has an inkling of what's going on behind the scenes. Do we think it's just talk, or do you think it could come to fruition?
Why would you want to take that on? Why would you want to? I think if we sell it to the NRL, it needs to come with a 65% tariff.
Ooh, that's a good idea, isn't it? Yeah, it's very topical.
Are we putting a tariff on all tries at the HJ now for the opposition? I think we should. 20% tariff on all tries. Put that into the equation.
The opposition fans have got to pay to get out, depending on how many tries their team scored.
I mean, talking of a calming influence, and this was probably a bit more in the second game that we're going to talk about, but Sneed is such a calming influence. Like, he's clearly got a higher IQ than, you know, pretty much all the team. You see him, you know, when they're doing the little, you know, when Walker's hammering the drum like a fucking monkey at the end after the match. Sneed's in the background going, this is really below my intellect, but I'll clap along. You can just say. And in the Saints game, did you see just before half time? I think we had about 45 seconds on the clock. We were pinned on our own line and they're all getting excited. And you think, oh, fucking hell, Philbin's about to drop it. Or Harrison was coming in for a run. And he put his hands up and went, calm down. Just calm. Yeah. He did that. And then in the Ashton was trying to race to the 20 to tap and go.
That's right. With about a minute left.
What are you fucking doing, you idiot? Calm down.
Jesus. Oh, he's swearing. It's on its way. Do you need to go?
Well, I think Sneed is very much the lubricant of this team. When I had my kidney stone, before they gave me 3 lots of morphine, they did try a suppository. And she gave it to me, and I didn't know that it came with a little packet, a little sachet of lubricant. And I went in the toilet. I mean, agony as it is, for 15 minutes, I'm trying to ram that up my arse. And it was just so tight. And I came out and she said, well, you poor thing, you're supposed to use the lubricant. One little hint of lubrication on the end of my finger and it just disappeared up there. It's like a bloody torpedo. And I'm thinking that Sneed is the lubricant to the team we've not had.
That's hard to erase from your mind, though, isn't it, now you've given us that little anecdote?
The final thing I've got on Leeds.
Yes, yes.
Or the Leeds game that I only found out about when I got home and watched it was the Dufty interview at the end. He was asked about Jake Connor, and I can't remember exactly word for word, but basically said he was the most irritating git he'd ever seen.
Sam, you seem to then go into some. I mean, we've been talking about time and, you know, TARDIS and everything else, relative dimensions in space, on this podcast. You then seem to send a video of what can only be described of you at some kind of 1985 disco.
Yes, that's exactly what it was like. That's so exactly what it was like.
Where were you? Where was that?
So, Mr. Level-Headed Simon.
Oh, yeah.
I'd heard that they were trialling the 1890 lounge or whatever it is, the 2040 lounge. That they were opening it up to.
Should rename it the 1985 lounge.
Yes, to season ticket holders after the game.
Right.
And I said, all right, if we win, I'll go in.
Right.
And so I'd committed to him, I'd promised him, and in we went, and we had quite a, to be fair, quite an enjoyable three quarters of an hour or so. But it was like going back in time to a working man's club where they've put the monthly disco on. That's what it was like.
It looked like one of the poor girl who has a 21st and it just happens to fall in line with the same weekend of another girl at school who's far more popular. And no one's really turned up to this girl's. A few relatives, a few close friends, and that's it. Oh, dear.
I forgot all about that picture.
Yeah. Ah, dear. Brad Arthur seems to have aged about 50 years since taking that Leeds job. You seen him?
Yeah.
He's just like, he's starting to look like a spitting image puppet of himself.
Is that shit on its way? Is that why you've suddenly gone up a notch?
Other Super League round six results. Cass 14, Hull 24, Lee 14, Wakefield 40. I didn't message Daryl to congratulate him.
Oh, God.
Catalans 13, Saints 14, Uddisfield 4, Hull KR 50, and Wigan 54, Salford 0. Leaves the table looking like this. Huddersfield at the bottom on 0 points. Salford and Castleford both on 2. Catalans on 4. Wakefield and Leeds on 6 points each. Lee in 6th on 7 points. Warrington in 5th on 8. Saints in 4th on 8. Wigan in 3rd on 8. Hull FC in 2nd on 9. And out on top, Hull Kingston Rovers on 12 points. I had did a bit of research, Sam, on when the last time Hull Kingston Rovers and Hull FC were the top two teams.
Ooh.
And it seems that's never happened. It's never happened in Super League. Yeah. And it apparently hasn't happened in the league.
Ever.
Yeah.
Ever.
Struggling then, weren't you?
Well, I did ChatGPT it, and it just basically it said, you've got to be kidding if you think there's any records being kept before Super League. Yeah. Like, it was just no evidence to show it, but there you go.
Yeah. The most surprising thing in that table is how shit must Huddersfield Giants be to be 2 points adrift at the bottom when Salford haven't even really got a team left.
Where did Salford get their win from? Do we know? No idea. Shouldn't have said that, should I?
No,
3 minutes of silence while Sam. Just have a look where it is, Sam. Yeah. Just have a look where it is. I'll play some music.
Okay, do you want to time me? How quick? Was it that? What's that music they used to play when?
Elevate music.
I'll play Take Heart. You know the gallery on Take Heart.
Oh yes, yes. That'll do. That's not so bad. I was going to say when the Generation Game they were looking at the conveyor.
Yeah, Sam, can you just find the
Huddersfield? They beat Huddersfield.
Oh,
funny enough.
There we go.
After all that, oh Christ! That's ridiculous.
When I was asked to do a time travel themed section, I was over the moon. The biggest Doctor Who geek imaginable getting to ramble on about Who and Wire in the same soundbite. Brilliant. The question I pose in this section is, if I could hop into the TARDIS and alter a few events in Wire's recent history, what would I do? So, here goes. The one thing missing from Wyatt's time in the Super League is, of course, a grand final trophy. We've lost four of these finals, so I can't pick them all. I'm going to go for the 2013 final against Wigan. Wyatt were well ahead in the game at Old Trafford, but lost Joel Monaghan and Stephen Ratchford to injury, which proved to be crucial as Wigan went on to win the match and the trophy. Altering the events of this day so that Monaghan and Ratchford didn't get injured could well result in Wyatt having won the grand final that day, and who's to say it wouldn't have led to further successes in the future. From one competition to another, let's think about the Challenge Cup. Now, I was at Wembley Stadium in 2019 as Wyatt defied the odds to beat St Helens and win the cup. A special day, but a defeat in London on that August afternoon would have almost certainly resulted in Steve Price being sacked come the end of the campaign. Winning this final ensured that Price remained in post for 2020 and 2021. I still firmly believe that Price should have been removed from post at the end of 2019, and losing that cup final, controversial as it may be to say this, would have probably been the best thing for us in the long run. Now, to finish, one more to do with retention. In 2022, Wyatt signed centre Jake Wardle on loan from Huddersfield. He impressed in his short spell at the club, but despite Wyatt's efforts, did not sign permanently and instead joined Wigan, where he has been a revelation. Wardle scored the winning try in the World Club Challenge last year and was named in the Dream Team for both 2023 and 2024. In my opinion, Wardle and Mark Percival of St Helens are streets ahead of any other centre in the competition. There is no doubt that Wyatt's back line would look stronger with Jake Wardle in it.
Well, there you have it. He absolutely shot his load when I sent him that suggestion. I tell you, he couldn't. He's never text back so quickly in all his life. So there you have it. Yeah. 2013 Super League final lost to Wigan. Ratchford and Joel Monaghan are injured during the game. 2019 Wyatt beat Saints at Wembley. But had they lost, perhaps Steve Price would have been sacked. Daniel never liked Steve Price.
No, it was a bit of a negative one, that, wasn't it?
2022, Warrington signed Jake Wardle on loan, who I always called Josh Ward. What did I call him? I always got the wrong one, didn't I? Can't remember who it was now. But he was signed on a full-term contract by Wigan. If you were to step into the TARDIS with Tanya Arnold, apart from the obvious... Yes.
What would I try and change?
Yes, yeah. What would you do? Yeah. What would you do?
If I keep to Daniel's bit of Super League only, it'd be a couple of years earlier. It would be 2011. We lost in the last minute to Leeds at the Halliwell Jones, and it was a Sinfield penalty, and maybe 4 or 5 minutes before the end, Matt King had gone to within inches of scoring. I think we'd have won it that year, and the same as Daniel. If we would have won that year, perhaps the floodgates would have opened. The monkey would have been off the back. The Danny Walker would have been off the back.
Dennis,
ask you first. Yeah, if you were to get in the TARDIS, what lady would you like to get in the TARDIS with first? Who would you like to get in with first?
Could I have Jenny Agutter, but dressed as the nurse in American Werewolf in London?
Yes, you can. Okay, so if you've gone back in time now, which of those three would you pick?
Well, mine isn't actually Warrington. It is rugby league related. I would go back to the 24th of October, 1992. Now, this preempts Blair coming into power. My girlfriend at the time was living in Islington, you know, before the bourgeois lefties moved in and gentrified the area. And I was going down for a nice weekend with my girlfriend, living down in Islington on Caledonian Road. But at the last moment, Dennis went, "Oh, can I come? Can I come?" And then another load of lads came. And that was the fucking end of the relationship. They stayed at her house over the weekend. And that was it. It was finished.
I never knew you harboured that all that time. Jesus.
Final score, Great Britain 6, Australia 10. Renoff scored the only try. John Devereux missed him playing in the centres. But
yes.
I mean, that was where it started to spiral when we got back to her flat and they were all absolutely fucking hammered. Dennis has brought bloody 48 kilos of marijuana with him. Christ.
For personal use.
Is that the night through that Argentinian lad's
homework? The poor that she had a flatmate who was from Argentina. Yeah. And unfortunately, the sinking of the Belgrano wasn't enough. This lad started throwing his textbooks out the window.
I just have no recollection of that. Sounds absolutely terrible. Sure it wasn't me. Thanks for that. Yeah. If I took a lady on the TARDIS, could I have an electronic screwdriver just in case?
Poor Daniel's section's been ripped to bits.
Before that, John Craven's News Round.
The Australian Kangaroos will return to the UK for the first Ashes tour since 2003 to face England in a three-test series. The opening game will be played at Wembley on the 25th of October, followed by Everton's new ground on the 1st of November, finishing off at Headingley for the dead rubber on the 8th of November. England coach Sean Wayne said of the event, "The last time we won was 1970. I've watched those games and they're in black and white. Now we need a colour memory. And this is our chance." I'm pretty sure my parents got a colour TV for the coronation. Why is he watching it in black and white in 1970? Was that what Wigan was like back then? Jesus.
Probably was.
You've got your ticket, Sam. I can see you've been on the WhatsApp group asking when they were going to come out and all this stuff. Mm. And you're going to Wembley? You're going to the first one?
I'm not going to Wembley. I'm going to Everton and the dead rubber game.
You going down to London, Dennis? Maybe
I'm a fuck.
By my ex-girlfriend. Apologise to her.
Is she still there?
No, she's moved to she was in Hove for a long time, and I did pop in to see her a little while ago, just to, you know. And now she's down in Loo. She's down in Loo. She's moved down to Cornwall. Oh. Lovely. She was a spitting image of that lead singer from Wilson Phillips. Do you remember Wilson Phillips?
I do.
Spitting image of her.
It's not that you're stalking her, but let me just put that out there as well.
I went to bed with her on that night of that game. I went to bed with her and we had pillow talk for nearly 3 hours before one of our mates fell out of the wardrobe in a room.
I bet that was.
He must have had deep vein thrombosis by the time he fell out. Don't know what he was waiting for. Do you? Days. Right. So no chance at all of winning it then, Sam. Any chance at all? No. We're all going to get.
There's always a chance, but not really.
No. Right. Fair enough. Oh, that's good. Excellent. Off-season signing Alfie Johnson and forward Tom Whitehead have both been sent out on loan to London Broncos last week. The pair are set to stay in the capital for a fortnight.
Right. Why are they staying for fortnight? I mean, they haven't got in the team, have they? Oh, Alfie Johnson did, didn't he? Well, he's not going to be coming back, is
maybe he? Maybe London will get him to run with the ball in his right hand.
Yeah, in the correct hand. The minimum loan period is 2 weeks, and you can extend it and extend it. That's why they tend to be for a fortnight.
Would you be looking to bring any of them back sooner, Sam, if needs be?
We'd have to have plenty of injuries.
So this season, I mean, it's all been very positive today, but this close season has been the worst season of signings ever, hasn't it? Like Johnson, Russell, Leyland, none of them are in the team or getting anywhere near the team.
Yeah, it's true.
Even Sam's got, even the happy clapper's gone quiet there. Look at him.
Well, I think worst signings ever. No.
No.
But, just a minute. But, caveat. You've got a point.
Orange alert.
Caveat detected.
Orange alert. Orange alert.
You've got a point. If they're not, even Dan Russell's nowhere near the team.
Mm. Funny that.
Oh, I've lost so much money on him this year.
And,
Oh, I'm going to play my Joker in the bets round, by the way. I've had a think about it.
We got one, have we?
Oh, yeah. Why is centre Conor Wren? She's edging closer to a return. The 23-year-old has been recovering from his second LCA injury, which occurred playing against Huddersfield last July. Sam Burgess has suggested Wrench could be back for the Magic Weekend clash with Wigan on the 4th of May, though no risks will be taken.
May the 4th be with you.
Oh, very good.
Yeah.
An absolutely on-song form Wrench. Is he a ring-in for that team, Sam? Don't think he is he, anymore?
No. No. He's definitely got something, or had something. Let's hope he gets back to full fitness. He's got a bit of pace, he's got a bit of sidestep, but I felt this year he was up to him to prove himself. Mm. Sorry, last year it was up to him to prove himself before he got injured, sadly. So I think it's...
Really put a spanner in the works, didn't it, there? Spanner in the...
Yeah. It's very good.
Is this working, this microphone? Look. Mm. And finally, a bit of sad news. Cornwall Rugby League Football Club are no more. The club folded last week due to financial issues. Founded in 2021 by Canadian owner Eric Perez, the club was sold to Cornish businessman Kenny Stone in November. Stone had set out to obtain further investment, but in a statement on the club's website, significant progress was made with potential overseas investors, although sadly, due to the current uncertainties in the United States of America, this has not been possible. Mm. Wasn't Kenny Stone R2-D2? Sure.
So, I've got a fascination with him, haven't you? I don't know why. I've got a T-shirt on with Cornwall on today as well.
You had a good time there, didn't you?
Yeah, it was. I thought it was great. Great place. It's just so unfortunate that they can't sustain it. Although I really did feel for the players. Sat on the coach to go up to the Northwest every week.
God.
Imagine that. 7 hours it used to take.
Jeez.
Seven hours.
There is
on a coach.
that very nice artisan
Gloucester Services.
Gloucester Services. It's always worth it. Although a pork pie in there is about £48. But apart from that.
It is, that's true.
Yeah. It's quite nice. Kenny Baker. Kenny Baker played R2-D2. There you go. Yeah,
there you go. How tall was he?
4'3". Leon Hayes. Was he taller or shorter than Leon Hayes?
I reckon he was shorter.
Not by because much.
Yeah, put him in a dustbin, didn't they, really? He used to sit in it.
He was 3'8" tall.
Really?
Yeah. Anthony Daniels played C-3PO, and he used to say apparently on set, because he was quite, you know, condescending of Kenny Baker, because Daniels was a thespian, you know, done a lot of Shakespearean plays, and apparently he used to say on set before they filmed, he used to say, "The mask isn't going on until the midget gets in the can."
Yeah. I'm sure that you've sent
charming
thing. Yeah.
Well, Dennis, you were down in Dorset this weekend. Why don't you pop down to Cornwall, put in a late offer? Hey?
Oh, no. It's two counties away.
In all those, you know, when you did your little tour season on YouTube, I liked the Cornwall one the best. That was the one to me that appealed to me. I thought I could quite...
Yeah.
I think if I lived down in Cornwall, I'd probably go and watch them occasionally.
I know. It's just
but
a shame.
It was, were they a rugby union club as well? Was there anything else going
on? Yeah. What they used to do, they used to put the rugby league match on after the rugby union match.
Ah, right. Okay.
So they would have a double bubble on a Saturday afternoon
double
or something.
What? Double
so, yeah,
what?
It was double bubble. What? Do you not know what a double bubble
yeah,
is?
Yeah, double bubble, yeah. Excellent. So there's quite a prominent rugby union league down there. Yeah.
Well, you say prominent, you know. I think it's a Western league.
Oh, my God. Well, I remember the little lad was having his first soccer game of the year on Saturday. And there was a bit of a clusterfuck over the fixtures. They hadn't put all the indemnity insurance into the system. A new company's taking it over. So the game was postponed. But yeah, they got on WhatsApp and arranged a friendly with another team. And they could play each other as long as they didn't wear their sponsored tops. It's all gone fucking weird. Yeah. Anyway, so we turn up, but Beacon Hill are playing DY at Rugby League, right? And it was the under-11s. Fucking hell. Jesus.
Be good.
Two-thirds of them were bigger than me. They were all Polynesians. The ball handling skills. I was going to film it, but I thought I might get arrested. The ball handling skills were incredible, unbelievable. Couldn't believe it. And I thought, there's no hope for us. There's no hope. And the referee was superb. And I said to one of the lads, I may have had a sausage sizzle while I was down there. And I said to one of the lads on the sideline, I said, he's good. He said, yeah, he's only 10.
What, the referee?
The referee was 10. The two lines people were 11. And it was under 11's game. And it was brilliant.
Yeah.
Absolutely brilliant. So,
oh, well.
Dead rubber for sure. Okay, should we move on to the Saints game, the Challenge Cup quarter-final, which I thought was the last 16. So we've skipped a round, which is good. The team was Dufty, Lindop, Curry, Ty came back in, Ashton, William, Snead, Musgrove, Walker and Vaughan continued in the front row, Holroyd, Fitzgibbon and Harrison in the back three, interchange bench, Powell, Yates, Philbin and Crowther. Here's the highlights.
Your room, I leave wide door open for me. Dead leaves upon
down the middle. What will they do? Will they shift it? It goes to Harrison, who releases it back towards the centre of the field. Finds Williams. Back in time to Dusty. Wonderful vision from Williams. Great support from Dusty.
For you, I'm over you. Get under me. This is the last.
And so St. Helens again. With Sirinen, can he get out of that tackle? He's spinning, he's doing his best, and offloads to Lomax. 10 metres away, puts the kick in, bodies are there!
Oh, it's a try!
And it looks like Sealer is the first man to get there!
Easy, boy, you should know, this will never work out.
But the kick comes in from Williams, collected by Curry! And Ben Curry! Who has to kick back in field, and that's a mess from Warrington.
He's in.
Opportunity for Saints, and it's Clark who capitalises.
This is dangerous.
Oh, Williams through the gap. He's got some
he's in. He's in.
Williams hits his ears back. Williams scores. The captain for Warrington scores.
I see it's a long time.
Final score, Warrington 20, St. Helens 12. There were tries for Dufty, Curry and Williams. Goals, Snead kicked 3 conversions and a penalty. The referee was Liam Poor. The attendance was 10,114. Mm-hmm.
Didn't go to this then, Sam. You were too busy off gallivanting up in the northeast.
I feel sorry for his old dog. Never makes any of the pitches now. It's all new dog. Have you noticed? It's all new dog. Every picture, new dog. And there's one picture he's taken. He's in some kind of bay window and the new dog's looking out onto the street. If you zoom in, the old dog's his arse is just in the corner on the right edge.
Yeah.
The other way round, that's the old dog.
Oh, is it?
Huh? Yes.
Our neighbour, they've got a Kelpie. They paid $2,500 for an ACL some kind of operation for it on the weekend.
Jesus.
$2,500. No, tell a lie, 5,000. And the other one had a problem with its arse and they paid 2,000 for that. 2,500 for that. So 7,500 for a weekend of operations at the vets. Christ.
Bit too much, innit? Draw a line, don't you, Sam? Eh? Draw a line.
I let Mrs. Sankey deal with all that. Comes out of her bank account. She can make the decisions.
Are we going to talk about St. Helens match rather than this?
Yes. Yes. And right. No, I wasn't there. I was coming back from the northeast and I felt strangely liberated switching my phone off at about 2:15. So I didn't get any messages or anything, and not switching it back on. I got home, put the cases away, got the washing on, sat down with a glass of wine and watched it from about 5:30 onwards, not knowing the result. Very likely, lads.
Where do you put the cases? I bet they're attic, aren't they? In the attic. Attic?
Yes, all but one small one. One small one stays down.
You keep out for Mrs. Sankey's little trips away with work. But correct. Straight up in the attic. That's very good. Yeah. When will the cases be coming out of the attic again? Have you got anything planned for next case down the attic?
Nothing booked till France. Nothing booked till August.
I just take carrier bags. But we'll probably be away for a weekend. If you go for a dirty weekend, just a carrier bag. You know, you only need a couple of Grundies in there, don't you? And that's it. Away you go. No.
A man who's travelled a lot, I'm a bit like Attenborough. I only have hand whatever luggage now. That's it.
Yeah.
I'm not waiting on the carousel. Hand job luggage.
Anyway, on to St. Helens.
Yes. Did you watch it, Rob?
The only one who did watch it by the sounds of it. I got up at whatever time, because the hour changed. So theoretically, I was watching it at 12:30 at night. But it was 11:30 on the new time. So I did watch it. And I have to agree with Sam, it was very liberating. I didn't have my phone on. Dennis has sent a picture of himself camping. Yeah. Sam was away wherever he
camping.
Was.
I was actually on a camper van.
So I did watch it. I never felt for what they were depleted. Their first half, they had an absolute shocker. They had to bring the 18th man on. Yes. They were all out of position. The only time I thought they looked like they were getting a little bit closer to us was when they brought Clark on. Clark did. We talked about Clark not running from acting halfback when we played them at Saints, but he did on this game. He ran quite a bit. He was a nuisance. We just sort of just before half time, we were in the lead. Sirenen gets a ball away close to our line. And if you watch it back, Harrison watches him for about 10 seconds. Harrison's standing right next to him, needs to come in and clobber him and be the third man in the tackle, just watches, and then he just throws it away. So that was a bit disappointing. And then we had this problem of not playing the ball properly, not getting up to our feet. And that got them back in the game. Crowther had a shocker at first slip. He dropped one, didn't he, right near the line that Clark scored from. So there was just elements of,
are you going to mention Ashton not being able to draw a man and run round?
We've always said that. He can't draw a man, can he? He can't. And he also, he's not very good at, you know, straightening the fullback up and then going again. And he's got no sidestep. He can't come off his left foot. So he's just pace, isn't he? He's pace and a little bit of deviation. I mean, I thought a bit, sorry, the one where he had Dufty on the outside of him, there was a winger coming across.
Yeah.
So he was running out of room, but in hindsight...
Inside pass.
If he was in the TARDIS, he's... It was almost like go to the touchline and flick it back in for Dufty.
Yeah.
He's a fantastic player. He's obviously very powerful because he breaks tackles.
It's so noticeable when he's not playing... How few tackles we're breaking. We're making meters coming out, but how few tackles we're breaking, whereas you say he actually breaks the tackles.
With everyone fit, Sam, if all our backs were fit, who are your preference on the four? Ashton's definitely in, right?
Ashton's 100% Ashton.
But the rest of them, they're all kind of a little bit, you could switch around a bit.
Yeah, so for me, Ashton is the only one who's 100% there. And then Thewlis, Lindop, Ty and King have all got positives and negatives. You'd go for King and Ty at centre for the strength and power they bring, but you'd say Lindop is quicker than either of them. And has shown promise. Similarly, if you were saying right wing, Thewlis has consistently delivered for 3-4 years now, but Lindop looks like he might have a bit more X factor than Thewlis.
Who's your four? Come on, cup final. They're all fit. Who's your four?
Thewlis, Lindop, King, Ashton.
Basically knocked half of them into it. Next week against the Giants.
You've fallen for it that time. I knew I'd have you then, because every time I mention him, good or bad, you can't resist.
When's the good?
Well, he did cut somebody in half, didn't he?
He does every week. I go King and Ty in the centres, Ashton, and I think my other winger now is Aaron. I think Aaron now is he's better than Thulis. He's just got there's more X factor there. And he hasn't put a foot wrong in defence.
I agree about the X factor bit. I'm quite excited to see him develop over the next couple of years.
What about Alfie Johnson?
Jesus. Let's forget about Alfie. Williams is showing his class there to win us the game in the end, wasn't it, with that.
They only had the big fullback prop out there, didn't they? Wormsley was trying to like chase him down. God bless him. He was really trying, but wasn't going to get it.
So, a couple of things here. First of all, yes, you're right. And on commentary, Jonathan Davis, Williams hadn't even got over halfway, and Davis just goes, "He's in," which I quite enjoyed.
Actually, let's do the
yes,
noise.
Like that, yes.
Oh, like boy. But, oh, boy.
Oh, it wasn't like that last year. Jesus.
But I actually don't think, I thought Williams was the difference in it for us because he created and scored tries. Mm. But I actually don't think he's quite there at the moment. And when he does click consistently over the 80 minutes, I can see us really putting the cleaners through somebody, because both sides of half time, I felt we missed great opportunities to pull away and make the game more comfortable.
Mm. So you didn't think his inside pass to Duffy to score the first try and then the other try to kick over the top that Curry caught and ran in was, he's not at his best.
He created all three, but in amongst it, there was quite a lot of mistakes. And he even said,
Is he flatting with Roderick Ty or something? What's happened here? Was it?
he even said after the game that he didn't think things were quite clicking. And that's how I feel. We're scoring, I think, when I looked back, 18 points a game, about 10 points a game lower than this time last year. And maybe it's not Williams. Maybe it's just the connection between Dufty, Williams and still relatively new Sneed.
Sneed's doing a lot off the ball. You know that last try for Williams? Sneed just passes it along the line. I know that was all he did, but that's all he needed to do. And just very calmly.
But it was flat and hard, wasn't it, in direct?
Are we still talking about Sneed's pass?
Correct, yes.
Yeah. I actually think one of the... We did look a bit disjointed in attack, but it looked to me that Saints had the quickest line speed I've ever seen. I think they were all offside.
Yes, yeah.
I thought they were constantly offside. And it was great that actually Jonathan Davis at one point questioned what the linesmen were there for.
Yes, that was, yes.
And they all, they all dampened the third it down, or fourth, didn't they? Yeah.
How did he question it? Yes. What was the voice? Oh, goodness me. It's better than the last one.
Yeah.
Yeah. We also need to say that is our sixth victory in a row.
That's not
against
easy to
St.
say.
Helens. Mm.
No, is it?
Not for me, it's not. Our biggest ever winning streak in history is 9. So that puts it in a bit of context.
In Super League?
No, in all competitions. And that 9 was sometime just after the Second World War, 1945 to something.
No,
I saw Tony Barrow win 10 on the trot.
Not against St Helens, he didn't.
Oh, against it. Oh, you mean just against St Helens. Sorry, I thought you meant like... Did he say that, Dennis? I don't think he said that.
I think he said that.
I don't think he said that.
Even if he did, cut it out.
I'll edit it so he didn't say it. Yes.
Of course, now I've mentioned that, we are going to lose against them in a couple of weeks' time now I've said that.
Oh, great.
But if we don't, if we were to win that 7 in a row in the context of the history of Warrington versus St Helens, quite significant.
Sam Burgess told BBC Two, "We knew it was going to be tough. We were good in patches, but we showed a lot of spirit. St Helens are a really tough side. It was a great contest. The game opened up as some fatigue set in. We have a bit to look at, but we should be proud of the effort and commitment to the result. We feel we have a long way to go with our defence, but we were good today and I'm happy with the spirit.
Yes, twice he said spirit in that paragraph.
Yeah, also I didn't like his sentence. We were good in patches, but we showed a lot of spirit. Yeah, it doesn't... Anyway, there you go. Very good. Yeah. This was pre-touch. Oh, you've been touched by this stage. You were touched the week before.
Oh, I was touched the week before, yes.
The win, however, didn't come without casualties. Paul Vaughan suffered a compressed fracture of his finger and he's likely to miss a few weeks. Burgess also confirmed the team had picked up a few more bumps, but did not give any more detail. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was a torrid afternoon. A lot of head knocks.
Mm. I mean, Vaughan's finger, that was obviously...
Oh, yeah.
It's not a nice thing to think about. You had a finger problem, didn't you, when you went on holiday in Yugoslavia, Rob?
Well, whilst working at Pontins in Jersey in 1988 or whatever it was Redcoats versus the guests. And I took a belting save to my right and came up with my finger sticking back the wrong way. And I went off to, casualty. They clicked it back in. And I played Captain Croc that night. I was fine. I was back in the costume. The show must go on. So I don't know what Vaughan's
going
on.
What was Captain Croc again? What was that?
He was a big inflatable crocodile. Yeah.
What, you were in it?
I was inside it, yeah. On the stage. Yeah, it was good. Yeah.
All right. Well, you didn't need your finger that night, did you? Right.
The only thing, going on to Dennis's point, or going back to Dennis's point against Leeds, felt it was very noticeable when Vaughan came back on that Warrington got back on top again. It wasn't just Vaughan coming back on, though. Musgrove came back on, and I thought they really helped put the game to bed.
Okay.
What do we think about Harrison playing 80 minutes in loose forward then? Do you think that's helping the forward?
Seems to be, doesn't it? They're playing really well. We'll come on to sag points a bit later, shall we?
Oh, Jesus. I was hoping there wasn't going to be any.
Quarterfinal, other results. Catalans 20, Salford 12, Wakefield 12, Lee 20, and Hull KR 16. Hull 16, Hull KR 32. The semi-final draw pairs Super League leaders Hull KR with Catalans, and Wire will take on the Lee Leopards. Hull KR and Catalans are to play on the 10th. Warrington are going to play on the 11th, I think, at the Totally Wicked Stadium at 4:30 p.m. I've just read a few minutes ago. Will you be going, Sam? Would you go to something like that? Surely you've got something better to do.
I already got my ticket.
Oh!
No!
God.
My PA Simon organises it all.
No,
he got the tickets for the dead rubber. He's got the tickets for the semi final. Oh. I've paid him.
Very good. So
shall be driving.
Are we going to win that semi final? Lee aren't the best when they're not playing at home, are they? When they've not got that touch judge from Lee on the sideline, who's a permanent resident. He's like the major in Fawlty Towers. Just lives on that sideline.
There's your flag, Major. Oh, dear.
I think I'm a little concerned. I think we should start favourites. I don't think we should be frightened, hopefully. Right. But I'm a bit concerned about what sort of team we'll have in four weeks' time, the way we keep picking up these injuries.
Okay.
Wow. Yeah.
The big prop from Lee, who's not going to get one game at the Bulldogs, seems to be heading back to Super League. Is it Tom O'Mone or someone? Do we want him? I mean, he seems to be palsy-walsy with Lee still. But surely
hasn't Burgess made comment about him? I saw somewhere.
Well, I think they're all
just
keen.
Gossip, I don't know.
Again, though, you know, you've got a guy there that's absolutely prolific in Super League for a few years. Can't get a game in the NRL.
Yeah, it's notable. But, you know, if he comes back to the competition here, it just shows you that, yeah, he might be a standout prop here.
Okay.
That's the way it goes.
Oh, Madam Boyd, I can only apologise for this chaos.
Yes, well, I wasn't expecting you to shoot a pop video in my chip shop, dear.
Oh, yes, I know. But Mr. Pett's factory wanted to see our players with a bit of sizzle.
Well, I don't see a lot of sizzle in here, dear. But I do see plenty of them being battered.
Oh, well, that's absolutely fine. We see that all the time anyway.
It's all right, everyone. Let's get set up. We have a tight schedule, so let's make every shot count. Camera B, you'll handle wide shots and dynamic movements.
Good luck with that, dear.
Oh, Samuel, do you really think this is a good idea to shoot this pop video? I mean, video killed the video star, but with the video ref, Samuel, there's more chance of a gramophone making a comeback.
I know, Rolfie, but it's important when the album's ready to go that we bang on with its promotion.
Oh, the way we're playing, Samuel, and after the recent IMG report on the bear trap at the HJ, I think we'll be pissing up the relegation wall. By the way, Sammy, who is directing the video?
Fitzpatrick, Rolfo. He's written it, cast himself, and he's directing. It's what's known in the profession as a triple threat.
Oh, tackle sacks. I expect he's written it in crayon. Plus, he can't cast further than the far side of the Bridgewater Canal. And he couldn't direct himself around Bridge Fort.
He's running with a fat boy slim narrative.
I'm not sure, Sammy, if Professor Broomhead dancing with James Harrison is going to win us an award at Cannes. In fact, the only cans Professor Broomhead is used to are those discounted four-pack of Carlin from the Lidl on Fennel Street.
It's all about creating an image to sell records, Ralphie. But unfortunately, the smoke machine's on the blink.
Oh yes, that's right. We've blown it all up Luke Littler's arse. Oh, my captain's challenge. I think Madam Boyd's overdone it with the fryer smoke.
I did what you said, Ralphie. I've attached the extractor fan from Crossfield.
No, I said the soap sub, Samuel, from the overflow pipe. You know, for the wrap-up foam party.
I never knew you were a raver, Ralphie.
Oh yes, Samuel, why back in the day on my yacht off the island of Ibiza, I circumnavigated Claire Balding's Balearics.
Did you drop any acid?
Oh, of course, Samuel. I mean, how on earth would you think that Witness got their sponsorship deal with ICI? Why, how hallucinated that much. I saw GB win a test series against Australia. Although, after I experienced a Dan Russell hat-trick, I knew it was a trip too far.
If only he hadn't been so foolish.
Hindsight's a wonderful thing, isn't it?
Talking about foolish, don't you think we should cast some youth in the video?
They're the TikTok generation, Ralphie. They only have an attention span of 3 seconds.
Oh, well, that should sit perfectly with the RFL's forward planning.
Okay, Ralphie, I'm off the costume and makeup. Apparently, I'm to appear in the pop video dressed in a cone boob tube, just like Madonna in Vogue.
Oh yes, health and safety. Just be careful not to check anybody's eye out. But I wouldn't worry too much, Samuel. With Stefan Ratchford's nose, the squad are probably all on the lookout anyway.
The pop video.
Yes.
It was that long ago that I listened to this. I'd nearly forgot. What sort of... What I want to know is, what sort of genre is this album going to be? When I couldn't really work... I couldn't really work out over the... Is it just an eclectic mix of a bit of Smiths, now a bit of Madonna?
It's now 24, isn't it? Whatever number they're up to now. That's what it feels like.
Now 17.
Now 7,426.
Yeah. You enjoying it, Sam? You enjoying this one? Not too many bad references for you this week?
No, there was nothing that I was overly concerned about this week. A bit of a soap party vibe and a...
Up your game.
Have you read the one I've written this week, Dennis?
I haven't. No, why?
It kind of goes off topic. goes a bit off topic a bit. I've started my push for tickets. You'll see the last few lines.
Oh God! This is going to turn into a Patreon only edition in the future. So we'll see how popular it is.
Oh dear.
5, 4, 3, 2. One. Tackle sacks. Go.
Right. Okay. Listen, I've got a tackle bags here that I want to go through in a minute. But from a tackle sag situation, I've now done a spreadsheet. Oh, my paper's going everywhere.
Oh, God.
My spreadsheet consists of, I don't know if you can see that, it's just two columns and all the players in there. I've only had to do that because you issued everybody with 1 point the other week. So I'm going to lose track. So listen, I don't think we've seen anything other than Philbin being on SAG watch that would stand out. I think we've had two good team performances. Mm. I think we've seen some exceptional individual performances, and I haven't really got anything. However, if we were to play a caveat alert for Dennis Waywell, I think that Philbin does deserve 6 points. unfortunately, I was looking at it, one of the categories, and it's called the mid-match shit show. You've fucked up enough times that people are starting to notice. Well, Mr. London had already messaged me. He was on like SAG watch when we were watching one of the games. Weak tackles, avoidable penalties, and passes that wouldn't hit the side of a barn door. You're officially having a shit show. That's the category I'm putting Philbin in. Do you agree with that?
Weak penalties. Yes.
Weak penalties. Yeah, stick him in. Have you got a category for dropped ball?
Possibly, yeah. I'd have to have a look at what that was. Why, have you got someone in mind?
Well, I thought Crowther might need one, just the 1 point for that. It was a pretty easy catch and he fucked it up, didn't he?
Butterfingers bonanza.
There we go.
Dropped the ball more times than a drop chip in a gutter with a 12-pint Bender bonus shame if it's on their own try line.
There you go.
Yeah, there you go. Perfect. Who's that? Crowther?
Yeah.
What's that? So that's it.
Sankey probably wants to give Ty a point for no reason whatsoever, but...
Is there a time sec? No? No? Okay.
No.
Right. Okay. Have I got time to do a tackle bag?
Yeah, it's got loads of time. It's half past 7 in the morning here. All day ahead of me.
Well, right. This year, I've been spending a lot of time investigating consciousness and the realm of the unknown. Now, with our recent return into excellent form, the Warrington Wolves of late, it could make you think that you're hallucinating. But it does seem that this is just nothing more than the Burgess reflex.
No.
So I've been, it could be. So I've been researching this new phenomena and working out how we can stay in the zone and maintain this streak and higher consciousness of winning. Yes, today I'm officially unveiling, in association with Madam Boyd, our new Watt Bevin elixir, called the Total Inner Tuning Syrup. Now, this is a medicine which is aimed at micro-dosing the players with a teaspoon of secret ingredients that will provide a higher level of consciousness winning performance.
So it's is this WADA approved?
Well, we'll get to that, Sam. We'll get to that. Madam Boyd has definitely assured us that the sourced ingredients that she's blended to invent the true legal high enhancing drug for rugby league players. So I can let just the listeners know, this is probably just for the patrons, I'll tell you what the ingredients are. Nutmeg. Did you know nutmeg?
No.
The spice contains the compound myristicin.
Oh, yeah. That word that just rolled up your tongue. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, I felt like a bad stuff. It's been used to make MMDA and ecstasy. There you go. So if you have enough nutmeg. The other ingredient is rye grain. This grain, if moist, conditions can develop a fungal disease called ergot. Which is a precursor to LSD.
So
that's a good one. Coffee, which we all know, which can exacerbate psychological effects of stress, but also induce an excellent hit as well, you know, to make you feel sort of energetic. You get that all the time, don't you, in your bell, Mr. London?
I've had a fungal infection in my toe since I went to Bali in 1991. Just can't get rid of it. Absolutely. It's been with me for a long, long time.
And the final ingredient, hot chilies. The capsicum releases endorphins in the brain. So there you go. So that is
how do you take this? What's the quickest way of getting it in the bloodstream?
Little spoon of it, just to
oh, not up your arse like a lubricant, like
no,
not a
you don't need a lubricant with this. But Madam Boyd did confirm that there may be trace elements of some wild mushrooms that she picked in a remote field in Dartmoor. So just to make sure of that. But apparently, if you do have any reactive effects or anything wrong, there's a phone number on the back of the bottle. So you just need to ring it. Once you get through, you just need to confirm your name and confirm that you're no longer taking any total inner tuning syrup. Or if you're if you can't remember that, just say that you're off your tits. That's that. We've just sent a bottle to the RFL, and with recent developments, I can definitely confirm they're all tuned in to taking this total inner tuning syrup. And obviously, the hotline has been off the hook as they've all been phoning in to say that they're all off the tits.
Let's hope that SAG points come back pretty quickly, Sam.
We can just make some next week.
Predictions.
We can predict the future or resist the inevitable urge to try.
Good afternoon to you. Earlier on today, apparently a woman rang the BBC and said she heard that there was a hurricane on the way. Well, if you're watching, don't worry, there isn't.
Warrington, but can I do it with a caveat, please?
Next up for Wire, it's the much-improved Hull FC. The game is at the HJ this Saturday with an early evening kickoff time of 5:30 p.m. Before we piss more money up the wall, here's Hal.
Who's looking forward as much as me to Myla mouthing off in the tunnel at Big Sam again? Let's hope so, and Burgess smashes the little prick. Ding ding. Round two and a knockout by a Benny Westwood knuckle sandwich. Bring back the biff.
Right, well, there you have it. How is Myla going at Hull? Is he on the up now? Is he sort of...
Well, they're second in the league, aren't they? For the first time ever.
I watched a bit of the Hull KR game, thinking it was going to be, you know, close game. Hull KR murdered them, just took them to bits. Mm.
Fair to say, Hull have had some easy fixtures maybe at the beginning of the season.
I know we're being really positive and I know we're winning games here and there. I'm just not quite sure of the standard that we're coming up against at the moment. I think there's two standout teams, Hull KR and Wigan. I think it's a totally different kettle of fish when you play those two. There's no way that win against Leeds would have won away at Hull KR, or for that matter, probably at home. I think you're probably right. I'm not sure the performance against Saints is good enough to beat Wigan or Hull KR. So,
what are the odds here anyway for Warrington win?
Should I have a look?
You have a look, Sam. You have a look. I'll go first. Do you want me to go first? Current standings. Sam did pick up a little bit of money last week. He picked up 59p.
Ooh, big win.
Yeah, big win. He's now on £99.92. He's 8p away from getting in the black. Dennis is on £83.03. I had that disastrous lot. I was on 274 quid 2 weeks ago. I'm now down to £73.23. A classic example why never to gamble.
Mm. Yeah, I agree.
There you go.
Do you want the odds then?
Go on then.
So on the handicap, Hull have got a 12-point start.
Oh.
The odds that equates to Warrington are 1-4 on, or 4-1 on, and Hull are 3-1 against.
Is that with the handicap, though?
No, without. Without straight match.
I'm happy to go first. I'm going to have, just because I'm trying to get back, I'm going to have 25p.
Oh, really?
On a Hull win. I'm going to play me joker now. Because I think Ben Curry's going to play in the centre again. And I think his odds might be quite high.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to have 50p on Ben Curry scoring. There you go.
We got players there, Sam. You got a player?
No,
it's the longest
players.
One.
They don't give the players until the team's picked.
Because I've been caught out with Russell for the past 3 weeks.
You keep putting £5 on him, he doesn't even play.
I know. I have to change it this week. Oh, no. Sam, you go next.
He'll play this week and score. You watch this.
Yeah. The first try.
length of the field.
After a 5-minute video ref decision. Yeah. I'm worried about our team, but I'm going to stay positive. I'll just put a small bet on Warrington. I'll put £4 on Warrington.
Ooh.
To get myself a pound back, potentially.
Right.
And I'll go a couple of quid on Ashton.
Oh. You won't get much odds on Ashton, though, will you?
No.
Okay. Rob, who would you recommend me behind Russell to pick? Who could I... Who's longest odds, do you think?
Harrison's probably quite long odds.
Is he?
But he's not going to score.
Yeah. I'll have £5 Harrison.
Jesus, £5. Right, £5 on Harrison.
And £1 for a whole win, try and recoup some of it back.
I mean, you say recoup, you're going to recoup 30p back, aren't you, or something like that? Sam?
Yes.
20p.
That's all right, yeah.
What would Brian Bevan say condones all types of gambling, prostitution, drug abuse, and people from witness? For more help, go to www.mind.org.uk.
Now, we've stopped. I have to say, we've had a few letters in. We've stopped actually giving a prediction of who's going to win. We're just so focused on... We've all become gamblers.
Oh, yeah. Well, surely whoever we say is going... We want to put our money on is likely
to
win.
No, I'm putting in money on Hull to try and get my money back. I think Warrington will win. Having watched Hull, I don't think they've got a chance.
No, I think we'll absolutely murder Hull. That's me.
Did they pick up any injuries, Hull, in their Challenge Cup game you watched?
I don't know. I got bored after 10 minutes, turned it off. SASA is quite good, isn't he? Eh?
Yeah. Well, they've got SASA. They've got Rapana, who is up and down and always was in the NRL, wasn't he? He was 1 week he was brilliant, one week he was crap.
Right.
Well, I don't know who else they've got. That's about it. They've got Richie Myler hanging around the tunnel. That's who else they've got.
In-depth analysis of Hull. We know two players, one of which we don't know that well, and we know Richie Myler. Excellent. Have they got Mark Sneed still playing for them?
Who else? Oh, Aidan Caesar, Cade Cuss. Liam Knight. Oh, Liam Knight signed for them.
Who's,
didn't he?
Who's concussed?
Yeah, Liam Knight and John Asiata. I bet he regrets moving from Lee, although when he counts his money, he probably doesn't.
Okay.
He couldn't be Asiata about it, could he?
I'm going to write my thesis on SASA.
You're not going to write a fucking thesis. All you're going to do is going to have a big shit after this.
Okay, that's it. We'll be back next week after we've played the team from the Humber. So it's a numbered goodbye from Sam.
All the best.
A slumbered so long from Dennis.
We're seeing you.
And until I go on a diet, it's an encumbered ta-ra from me. You've been listening to What? A very positive What Would Brian Bevan Say?
After we lose next week, it's all going to be back to your negative, negative rant, isn't it?
Jesus.
Is it really fair to feel this way inside? Oh, some day somebody's going to make you want to turn around and say goodbye. Until then, baby, are you going to let them hold you down and make you cry? Don't you know, things could change, things are going.